Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Coast to Coast Radio. I'm your host Ron Fitch, and today, well, Saturday I called my show Roll the Dice Saturday. Today is Humble Pie Saturday because most of the predictions I made went right down the toilet, and some of them are really bad. So I'm gonna tell you ones that were really bad, and maybe the one that I did get right, I got a little lucky getting it right. So, we'll go right into it, since we're going to go right into the NFL. And we're going to go to the prediction, which was pretty dumb on my part. I predicted the Redskins to beat the Dallas Cowboys. The Redskins are a dysfunctional group. You have Josh Norman. Last week, he against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was on the sidelines, ready to punch out his own teammate on defense. You have players questioning the courage of Kirk Cousins after this game. Now, I'm going to break this game down, and I'm going to tell you why the Redskins lost and what the Redskins' problem is. The Cowboys were it started out good for the Cowboys. They got a good scoring drive. Then they went up 10-0. Dak Prescott looked really good. Ezekiel Elliott had a one-yard run. He didn't play good. He's fumbling the ball all over the place. He's struggling a little bit. But then here comes Cousins, Matt Jones. 8 plays, 75 yards down the field. Matt Jones, 14-yard run. Cowboys kick a field goal, make it 13-7. The Redskins come back down, 13-10 at the half. In the third quarter, the Redskins, here comes Kirk Cousins, 11-yard pass, 8 plays, 75-yard drive, 17-13. All is well in D.C. Cowboys come back. This is what I like about Prescott. It was a 10-play, 75-yard drive where he scored, 20-17 Cowboys. The Redskins get 2 field goals. They have the lead at 23-20. They're driving to really put the game away in the fourth quarter. And Kirk Cousins in the red zone throws a dumb pick. Panicked to a really stupid interception. The Cowboys come back down, and Alfred Morris, the former Redskins, scores on a 4-yard TD run. And he really enjoyed it. He did a little Babe Ruth home run swing in the end zone toward the Redskins fans. He basically said, hey, you guys didn't want me now. I bet you want me on your team right at this point. And the Redskins lose. The Cowboys, Redskins outgained the Cowboys 432-380 in a loss. And that's the problem. That is not good at all. And Kirk Cousins had 364 yards, but had a big interception. And just the overall leadership, it is like he's pressing. Dak Prescott was 22 for 30, 292 yards. He did a good job. He's showing his good leadership. I was impressed. Dallas played good last year. They could have won the game. Last week, I meant. They could have won the game last week. And they didn't, but they're 1-1. They're playoff team. I believe they're a wild card team because the New York Giants defeated the New Orleans Saints 16-13, and it was all about their defense. And the Giants fumbled the ball. They turned the ball over 4 times, so they really could have been worse. But the Saints' defense was stout. They hung in there, but the Giants, it was a gutsy home win. They took care of business. Cruz had a fumble, but then Cruz does what Cruz always does. It makes big plays at the end of games. Shepard is terrific. And that's going to be really big to have Shepard, Cruz, to go along with Odell Beckham. And if you give Eli Manning time with that defense, getting Janoris Jenkins over, getting the lineman from Miami over, with the free agents they made, and how Spagnuolo is really dialing it up, dialing all the defenses up correctly, the Giants are a Super Bowl contender. I said it. They're a Super Bowl contender. They say, hey, they can make the playoffs, the NFC. The Giants are good. You want to talk about the NFC, that's fine. But the Giants are a good football team. And I say they're a Super Bowl contender because they can beat Carolina on a given day. They can beat Arizona on a given day. Arizona and Carolina are Super Bowl contenders, but they're vulnerable. And you see Seattle lost to the Rams. They're dealing with a 2-year Super Bowl hangover, that disastrous play call in the Super Bowl, which they should have repeated. I think it had changed the course of history. It changed Seattle. That play call, they may take that to the grave. That was a bad play call in Super Bowl. And I think there's remnants of that in their psyche. And that's why they're scuffling this year. And they lost a lot of their linemen, so they're a mess. So the Giants are a Super Bowl contender. I know there are going to be Cowboy fans calling in my show and Eagle fans and all what have you, saying that you're just ridiculous. No, it's not ridiculous. When you have the quarterback and now they're running the ball, Marine Chamberlain's running the ball real well. They're running it downhill. They're playing with a little more physical play up front with JPP playing well, putting a pass rush, and the linebackers are solid. They're not great, but they're solid. And the secondary is fantastic. Eli Apple was a great pickup. I'm not always big on Ohio State players going to the NFL, but some of them do pan out because there's so many of them get drafted. And Eli Apple looks like a really good player. Rogers Cromartie is so good. And then you have Janoris Jenkins, who had a fumble recovery on a block kick for a touchdown, which really changed the game. Biggest play of the game. The only touchdown of the game. Janoris Jenkins is a godsend. What a pickup from the Rams. And they spent the money wisely. Now they're Super Bowl contenders. Because I don't like Carolina. They beat the Niners. They ended up blowing them out. But I don't know. There's still Super Bowl hangover from getting beat. There's still some remnants of that. They won 46-27 against the Niners, but it was a close game until the fourth quarter. I think they're vulnerable, but they're a contender. If you want to have them more of a favorite to the Giants, I'm okay with that. But you got to put the Giants in the discussion from here on out, unless they lose games they're not supposed to. I saw the Giants' schedule, and there are a lot of winnable games on that schedule. And I think they're going to be very difficult at home because of how their defense plays and that crowd. Giant Stadium, the Jet crowd is always loud. They're just rabid, crazy fans. They probably drink a little too much, but they really give it to the Jets. The Giant crowd, when the Giants are really good, when their defense is good, their crowd senses that, and they're louder. I think they're going to be more intimidating this year, and they're going to be very difficult to beat at home. Winning in Dallas was big, so they got that division win and a road division win. I expect them to kick the Redskins all throughout that whole game. And I think Josh Norman's going to get his comeuppance, whether it's Cruz, Shepard, or Odell Beckham. It doesn't really matter in that situation. Now, before I take the calls, you want to call. It is 646-564-9874. You want to talk about the NFL? We're going to do that. I'm going to go to the next game, was the Bengals and the Steelers. I thought it was a hard-nosed, tough-fought game in the rain. What the Steelers did, which was big, was they maintained the lead. And I thought that was big to get an early lead when you're playing in that slot. And it went to Xavier Grimble, 20-yard pass from Ben Roethlisberger. Then they stopped the Bengals from scoring. This was a theme in this game. The Bengals drove. But they didn't get the end goal. Then Pittsburgh got a field goal. Then the Bengals got field goal toward the end of the half, and that was big because they did not get in the end zone. And then Pittsburgh had a 7-play, 91-yard drive. Sammy Coates, who had two bombs thrown to him, had big plays. They're going to need him badly without Bryant. When they feature their defense keys on Brown, you're going to have to go to Sammy Coates. And he did. And then D'Angelo Williams caught a touchdown. But then the Bengals came back. Giovanni Bernard had a 23-yard pass to cut it to 8. They have another chance. It's a pass. The ball was stripped by James Harrison. I think the knee was down, but they called it a fumble, so the Steelers got a little lucky. But I felt like they did deserve the win because they slightly outplayed the Bengals. Both teams didn't play that good. I didn't like how Ben played at all. Ben could have played better because he threw a pick at the end of the half when it was 10-3, and they could have went up 13-3, or they could have went in the half at 10-3. But he threw a pick, and the Bengals got a field goal over that. I did not like that play at all because that could have been worse. And in the future, you can't do that. At the end of a half, when you have the ball, you either want to score 3, or you score 7, or you don't score at all and make sure the other team doesn't score. That's called time management. And they didn't do that. They got away with that. But in the future, you're not going to do that. You're going to go to a very difficult place in Philadelphia where the Steelers haven't won since 1968. And you're going to have to exercise some demons and win there. Now, I want to talk about the Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. That was a really hard-nosed game yesterday. The Vikings pulling it out 17-14. And I'm going to tell you something. I was impressed with the Vikings on a couple of levels. First, the Packers scored on a block punt, and they had a short field. Jerry Nelson scores on a one-yard pass. The Vikings come right back with Rugo Kollar-Rudolph, who's the most underrated tight end in the NFL, gets an eight-yard pass from Sam Bradford. Then the Vikings go up 17-7. They score 10 straight points. Stephon Diggs, who is the future of the NFL, who is a star, caught a touchdown pass, and he had a huge, huge, huge game. But then A.J. Peterson gets hurt, and I'm awaiting his status. I know he has knee ligaments. I don't know if it's season-ending. I hope not. But he was out of the game, so the Vikings really had to go to the passing game, and Bradford was terrific. Now Green Bay came back. I mean, Bradford was terrific. I'm looking at his stats right now. 22 of 31, 286, two touchdowns. And he just got there. No training camp. He impressed me. Rodgers was 213 and one touchdown and interception. The Packers come right back to make it 17-14. The Packers get the ball. And they couldn't score. They had two opportunities. One, they stopped them. And another time, they stripped Aaron Rodgers. And the Vikings had about four or five fumble opportunities. An interception on the Tuesday that they blew, but they got away with it. But Mike Zimmer seems to have Aaron Rodgers' number a little bit, the way they could slow Green Bay down. And I'm going to tell you something. The Minnesota Vikings now have a psychological edge, and I believe they're the new top dogs in the NFC Central. That win in Green Bay last year, I didn't think they were going to do that. When they won in Green Bay last year, where the winner takes the division game and they won in Green Bay, it built confidence. I know they had that horrible loss against Seattle, but they got to the playoffs. They got the division. And now they know they can beat the top dog, Green Bay, who is a perennial NFC North champion. And they know that the Lions just threw away the game against Tennessee. So they know that the Lions are good, but the Lions will implode at any time. The Viking team and Mike Zimmer and his staff knows because of Sam Bradford that gives them stability. So if Adrian Peterson is out for any, well, he'll be out for an extended period of time. That, and Zimmer actually said Peterson's knee calmed down. So they're saying it's thought to be minor, so he may be out a month or so. The MRI is going to come today. I actually think that the way when you see a guy get hit in the knee turns, it's usually a sprain. But when you see a player play and make a move and nobody's around and he grabs his knee, it's usually an ACL. And that's what I thought. I thought it looked like a sprain. I'm not a medical doctor, but from what I'm seeing and reading, he may be back for the season, and that's good. They need that balance to go along with Stephon Diggs, who is a complete stud. And this was a good, good win by the Minnesota Vikings. They could be on their way. I was loving that. I mean, Stephon Diggs had 9 receptions for 182 yards and 1 TD. And he could go inside. He could go deep. Him and Bradford got a little chemistry. Kyle Rudolph was great. So the Vikings can hold the fort until Peterson comes back. Now you have the passing game attack, and if Peterson comes back right, you got the running game attack, and that defense is serious when you have a really good – I'm borderline – they're a borderline Super Bowl contender. They're almost there. I need a more of a sample size of Minnesota, but they're right up there. They can play the Giants, they can play with Carolina, and they can play with with the Arizona Cardinals. Therefore, I just need to see a little more of Minnesota before I crown them that team, because it's a long season. Now, this is the embarrassing part of my show where I talk about my college football, very, very stupid college football picks. I should know better on some of the picks. I should have known better. A person who's done talk radio for 4 years, I should have known better than to make some of these picks. Now, Florida State, Louisville, everybody picked Florida State to win in a tight game. I thought it was going to be a tight game. Boy, was I wrong. They started out slow. At Florida State, the chickens came to roost. Florida State always starts off slow, going all the way back to James Wilson, Winston, and then Jimbo Fisher always makes these halftime adjustments. Down 28-6 to Ole Miss this year. Halftime adjustments, blow them out in the second half. And you know what? They reached back and they said, we're going to do it this time. We're down 14-3. We're down 35-10 at half. We'll come back. And it got worse because Louisville was one of those recipients of a comeback from Florida State a couple years ago. And they remembered that and they poured it on and they really attacked Francois. DeAndre Francois was under pressure all game long. Lamar Jackson had 216 passing yards and 146 rushing yards, averaging 8.6 yards a pop against Florida State. And he put on spectacular moves. It was a spectacular display of football by the Louisville Cardinals. And the Houston Cougars are humming. And Louisville and Houston are going to play each other in the regular season. And it looks like that could be the game of the year. I know Alabama's going to have something to say about that. I know that my next game is Alabama-Ole Miss. And that was I was really excited to watch this game. I went to Buffalo Wild Wings, got me a burger, sat down, and I said, I'm going to watch Alabama at Ole Miss. I actually wish I was in Oxford to see that game. I heard, I heard about the hottie totties and I heard about all that good stuff. Hopefully we're going to be on the road a little bit more for my show. But that was a great atmosphere. That was a great game. And Ole Miss started the game fast. First series, 7 plays, 75 yards. Akeem Judd, 23-yard run. That was all he was going to get because Alabama, you don't run Alabama that much. Bama comes back, settles in, gets the field goal. Ole Miss gets a field goal. Then a broken play, Evan Engram, 63-yard pass from Chad Kelly, who was getting hot. Surprise the Alabama defense. And then John Youngblood, 44-yard fumble return after Hurd from the Alabama got crushed. Calvin Ridley, they come back. Alabama calms down because when you play the Alabama Crimson Tide, it's a 15-round fight. They don't get discouraged when they're down. They stay with their game plan. Calvin Ridley had a 6-yard run. And it's 24-10. But right before the end of the half, Eddie Jackson gets an 85-yard punt return. If you know anything about Alabama, they always get a punt return or a kickoff return every time they need it. They got a big kickoff return in the national championship game against Clemson. And they got it. This, to me, was the play of the game. Because they cut the lead to 7 before half, and they're feeling good. And here comes Bama. Here comes the tie. Rolling along. Fumble, they get a sack and a fumble return by De'Ron Payne, 24-24. Adam Griffin comes out, gets a field goal. Their defense is shutting Ole Miss down. But then Ole Miss gets a field goal. And this was a big part of the game, too, because Ole Miss drives down to the 1-yard line. And I thought it was a touchdown on a run, but they called it no touchdown. Then the next play is an illegal procedure. And then the next play, it was a fumble, and then they didn't score, and they had to kick a field goal, and they didn't take the lead.
And I think that might drain them psychologically. Alabama comes down, four play, 75 yards. Bo Scarborough, who ran quite a long run on that drive, scores a touchdown, 34-27. And then Ole Miss comes down, but they only get another field goal. And then Alabama gets another big drive. Damian Harris scores 41-30. And then they sack. No, they get a tip ball off of Kelly. And Tata Allen has a 75-yard touchdown return, 48-30, with 5:28 left in the game. But then they get two TDs late and on the onside, another touchdown. But it was too late. Alabama ran the clock out, and they win another big game. And Ole Miss is 0-2, and they're probably the best 0-2 team in the country because they're really good. They got a good game up against Georgia. I'm looking forward to that game against the Georgia Bulldogs. The Georgia Bulldogs are playing with fire. They won their game and against Missouri in a real, really thrilling game. Now I want to talk about Ohio State and Oklahoma. And this was a bad job on my part to pick Oklahoma. I don't care if the game was in Oklahoma, Ohio State, Africa, Australia, Mars, or Pluto. Whenever Urban Meyer goes against Bob Stoops, always put your money on Urban Meyer. National championship game, Urban Meyer beat him. And in this game, the dumb backup quarterback for Oklahoma goes on the air before the game and says, "Well, Ohio State's defense is ordinary. I expect Baker Mayfield to light him up." Done. You didn't think that was going to get back to Ohio State. That wasn't bulletin board material. Come on. And Ohio State came out firing 14-7. They're up. And I'm going to tell you, they really – I was impressed – with the way they came out, 14-0, 14-7, after Joe Mixon gets a 97-yard kick off Oklahoma, which he really threw the ball out of bounds before he scored. They got away with that. But then Ohio State comes right back. Noah Brown, 4-yard pass from JT Barrett. It was a spectacular catch. And I'm going to tell you, the unsung hero. And Noah Brown had another touchdown pass. Two of them. The 21-yard one, the spectacular one, where he leaped over the defender and caught it to make it 35-7 at the half. And that's pretty much game after that. But I'm going to tell you something. Curtis Samuels is a stud. They gave Oklahoma a beatdown, but I'm going to tell you something. Curtis Samuels is a running back / receiver. He's almost like out of the Reggie Bush clone. And Josh Brown and Curtis Stevens can carry him with JT Barrett throwing touchdowns because he's experienced, and that could help Ohio State get to the playoffs. They're going to have a little bit of a tussle with Michigan State, but I believe that Ohio State will take care of business as long as they got JT Barrett upright, who's experienced, and Curtis Samuels, who had 98 yards rushing, but he could catch out of the backfield, he could run. I'm very impressed with Ohio State. But they're going to have to beat a pretty good Michigan State team who beat Notre Dame. That was another really stupid pick on my part, picking Notre Dame to beat any team that's in the top 20. I like Kaiser as a quarterback, but they cannot stop a soul. And their defense has always been, other than the national championship game they play against Alabama, their defense has always been a little suspect under Kelly as a coach. Offense has been fine, but they're a paper tiger. They're a perennial paper tiger where you'll see them ranked, but they run up against a team that puts up resistance and has a good offense. You're gonna get beat. I think Michigan State, I'm impressed with Michigan State. They're young, but as long as they got D'Onofrio over here on the sidelines coaching, they're going to be fine. And they have had, other than 2 years ago, they have had Ohio State's number in big games. And Ohio State has to go back to Michigan State and beat them again like they did 2 years ago. That's the game of the year. That may decide it. I love Michigan. that they were losing to Colorado and they stormed past Colorado 45-28. And I'm going to tell you something. Michigan is a lot different with Harbaugh because of the fact that that's the kind of game they would normally lose. I think they may be away because they have to go to Michigan State and then to Ohio State. But I think they're a year away from being a national contender where they can win it all next year with Harbaugh and the way he's recruiting. Very impressed with recruiting. Now I want to get to Major League Baseball before I go. This is going to be interesting. I think the Mets should be just fine. I think the Mets are in a good shape. They swept the Twins. They basically have minor league teams on their schedule. And so they should get the second wild card. Matter of fact, they should get the first wild card, and they should get it so easily that they could have Syndergaard set up. So the Giants, and I expect the Giants to probably be the wild card. So if the Giants are the wild card, they'll have Bumgarner versus Syndergaard, but it'll be at Citi Field, and as good and as clutch as the Giants have been over the last 8 years, I'm putting all my money on the Mets at Citi Field. Figuring out a way to get it done, and then having to play, I believe, the Cubs. And if you're a Cubs fan like me, everybody starts out, the Cubs have the best record in the league, but everybody starts out 0-0. The Cubs do not start out 0-0. The Cubs start out 0-108 because all the years they haven't won and all that baggage they take into the postseason and that psychological edge that the Mets have after sweeping them at Citi Field, knowing that if they get one game at Wrigley, they have to go to an intimidating place at Citi Field to try to take on the Mets. If Charles holds and the Mets are in there against the Giants, I'm assuming the Mets will win that game and play the Cubs. I got to check the format, but I believe it'll be that and then the Dodgers and Washington. The Dodgers have baggage, and the Nationals have baggage because they have recent playoff chokes. So something's got to give there. That's going to be a fun series, the nation's capital in Hollywood. But in the American League, Cleveland's hot as a firecracker. Boston is Boston. Texas is Texas. You got the three top dogs that are going to be there. Who gets in? It looks like Baltimore and Toronto are going to face each other. The Yankees got swept by the Red Sox. In every one of those games, the Red Sox came back. The Yankees are young, so they're going to be just fine. This is a learning experience for them. But, I mean, Detroit's got an easy schedule, so Toronto and Baltimore play each other, so that's not decided yet. But this is going to be fun. By next Monday, things may be sorted out.